life sometimes cause people in the community to have negative thoughts. Why should Christians be for life? What does God's Word say about life? Stay tuned today as we discuss life issues with Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. This is Kay Meyer, host of the Family Shield radio program. With me on the phone lines is Dr. Lamb. Welcome.
Thank you, Kay.
I'm really having trouble hearing him. Okay, much better. Thank you so much. Good to hear your voice, and thank you for joining us today as we talk about life issues, Dr. Lamb.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I ask you to start with a devotion. Do you have any devotional thoughts for us?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess I've been thinking about Psalm 118 lately because of the last election. We had a lot of pro-life leaders elected.
Mm-hmm.
But Psalm 118, I think, directs our attention to something even more powerful and better. The psalm says this: "It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." And while we're happy, those of us in this for-life movement, that we have so many pro-life leaders, pro-life princes, if you would, being elected, we know that the real power for change comes from the Lord, and that's where we place our trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we trust that He will, through His Word, be about changing people's hearts, because we need a lot more changed hearts before we're ever going to get changed laws in our country.
You bet, yeah.
And so that's what we trust in, and that's what Lutherans for Life is about. It's equipping people with Word-based materials so that through that God can change their hearts.
You bet. Yes, it is. And I had written, thinking you might say that, I had put as a little logo, trust in God, not in politicians. So that's great. As we transition, right before I left to come to the studio to produce this, I remembered you had told me an awesome story. I thought it was awesome, about how God kind of closed doors on you as you tried to be a medical doctor for years, and when you finally decided to be a pastor, all those doors opened. And I just think, if you would, just for a few minutes, just share a little bit, because I think there's a really good lesson there for our listeners, that sometimes it's God closing doors, and we shouldn't try to bang them down. I don't know if you can do that in just a few minutes, but I think you, as the leader, the servant leader of Lutherans for Life, it's important that people understand that God led you to become a pastor, and you got a doctorate, but it wasn't a medical doctorate. I just thought it was an awesome story. Can you share that before we launch into just talking a little more about life?
Sure, I'll do my best to keep it brief. I'm a prime example of someone who's been saying no to God for quite a while, but God's just never taken no for an answer. Like you said, I always wanted to be a physician. Ever since I was in fifth grade, that was my desire, and I knew that I was going to be a physician, and I knew God was going to help me with this plan that I had for my life. I prayed to Him frequently about that through my teen years and so on. So when I went through pre-med and did well in all my courses, did well in my medical college admissions test, and I was pretty confident that this plan of mine was going to work out and I was going to be a physician. But lo and behold, I didn't get to medical school the first year I applied, so I kept going to school, and I applied again a second year and didn't get in. And then I was pretty discouraged, so I applied for a physician's assistant program up in north of Minneapolis in Minnesota, and I got accepted to that. And then 6 months before that program was to begin, I got a letter saying that the state had cut the funding for it, so they were just canceling the program, and so that didn't work. So then I went into the Air Force for their physician's assistant program. My wife and I had our first son by that time, and it just seemed like a good way to take care of my family and get the education I wanted. So I had to serve as a medic for a couple of years before I could apply to the PA program, and when I went to apply, they told me that the regulations had changed, and it was now 3 years, and they doubled the payback time. And so one thing led to another, and that door was closed as well. And I was stationed at the time in Colorado Springs. I was stationed at the Air Force Academy Hospital there. It was a really great assignment. And we were attending a church there and going to a Bible, midweek Bible study at people's homes. And we were talking about this one night, and one of the folks said, "Well, you know, have you ever thought about asking God to show you His plan for your life?" And it really struck me that I'd been praying for God to help me with my plan, but never to show me His. So that night, my wife and I changed our prayer and said, "God, show us Your plan for our lives." And that was on a Wednesday night. The next Sunday in church, I opened the bulletin. The pastor's sermon theme was God's plan for your life. Mm. Is it yours?
Mm.
And it was based on Proverbs 16, where he talks about the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Mm. And that's what it was for me. I was planning my way. Mm. My mind was made up, but God was directing my steps all that time. And we finally saw the door that had been open all the time. Mm. I had, my pastors growing up had encouraged me to go into the ministry.
That
others
were,
have,
yeah.
But I
but
said
you
no.
had a plan.
Yeah, I had a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like you said, now I'm a doctor, but
yeah.
not the kind I set out to be. I thought it was a good example of God's humor because I always wanted to be an MD, a medical doctor, and now I'm a DM, a doctor of ministry. So it's just just the opposite of what I thought. So,
and
yeah, God works.
God works in mysterious ways. And even when we have faith, sometimes we're trying to bang down the door, and He has a different plan. And He did for you because you, as the Lutherans for Life executive director, you deal with a lot of medical issues. And that background that you had helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about some of the topics, yeah.
Yeah. Even though I wasn't going where God wanted me to go, He was using where I was going to equip me for where He wanted me to go. And
right.
so all the things that I learned, you know, I worked on a psychiatric ward when I was going to college, and I just learned so much in there about human beings and human nature and human frailties, and so much about myself and relationships with people. So, yeah, it was just one big classroom all these closed doors provided for me.
And I think for our listeners, we want them to understand that even as Christians, sometimes the closed doors are God saying, look for other options. So I just remembered that story. And at the time you told me that story, I just thought, wow, what a powerful story of how God guides and directs us. And thank God. I'm very thankful that you were open to the Spirit's leading and that you did become that pastor and then later the executive director of Lutherans for Life.
I said no to that, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. When I was first asked to put my name on the list, I said no to that, and here I am. So
yeah.
God just doesn't listen to me.
Well, you listened to Him. Thank God for that. And you just didn't. You were a pastor in a parish. You thought that was where you were supposed to be.
Right,
and
yeah.
Had no idea that God would lead you to a national ministry of Lutherans that share life with all people. So, good. That's great. Now, you've already kind of talked about why we are for life, but I wanted to just touch on this term. Lutherans for Life, we use the term for life often more than pro-life, to some extent because pro-life has in the communities, not just Christian, but in the communities, has a negative name or connotation. Talk a little bit about why we are for life.
Oh, yes, you're right. Early on, as executive director, I remember I was on a plane, and the gentleman next to me asked that proverbial question, what is it that you do? And I said, well, I get to travel around the country sharing the pro-life message. And he just looked at me and he said, oh, you're one of those, you know. And so it just really struck me that phrase, it just has all kinds of negative baggage connected to it to so many people, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Because, you know, it's a great phrase, but people, you say pro-life and right away they think of people who blow up clinics or shoot abortionists, burning clinics. That's what they think of.
Mm-hmm.
So at Lutherans for Life, we've ever since then, I've just emphasized the four in our name. In fact, we even capitalize it, mm-hmm. even though that's grammatically incorrect, when we put our title down, because we just want to emphasize that we're a for-life organization. And then the reason we are for life is because God is.
Yes.
And that's what makes us different, not necessarily better, but different than right-to-life kind of organizations whose focus is out there to change laws and to elect pro-life leaders, and those are all good things, and we want those things too. But we are out there, as I said in our devotional thought, to help change hearts, mm-hmm. and only the Word of God can do that. So right. I like to tell folks that we're not for life because we live in a society that isn't. We're for life because we serve a God who is.
Mm-hmm.
And so our motivation is first and foremost the fact that God loves life, and that's why we want to defend it and speak up for it.
Yeah. And you already mentioned one of the reasons why this organization, made up of state federations and local LFL chapters and employees in Nevada, Iowa, and many, many donors around the country, why you're unique. And that is, again, because you're about the Word of God and the gospel changing hearts, changing lives. That's just such, it's so different, and people don't get it. They don't get it a lot of times.
My favorite thing to say is the gospel of Jesus is the most powerful and positive for-life message in the universe. I mean, if you think about it, the gospel, it's tailor-made for these issues of life and death and pain and suffering and grief and guilt and regret and difficult situations. The gospel speaks to those so powerfully.
You bet. I'm going to just make a few announcements, and then I'm going to come back to talk with you some more about life. Each week, Family Shield offers a complimentary booklet to our listeners. This week, Family Shield is offering No Need to Fear. Anxiety comes in many forms: excessive worry, inability to make decisions, and concern about financial situations. Learn how to have hope. To receive the booklet, call our toll-free number 1-877-317-4326. Again, that number, 1-877-317-4326. Lutherans for Life has some wonderful resources, and you can learn more about those resources by going to www.cph.org. They have wonderful resources, including a curriculum for Christian day school teachers, a life Bible called God's Word for Life, and Bible studies on life issues, many different types of life issues, as well as many tracts and smaller items. And I know you'll want to learn more. You can also learn more about Lutherans for Life on their website at www.lutheransforlife.org. Although the gospel is free, our radio airtime is not. We invite your prayerful support of our outreach beyond the walls of the church with a financial gift this month. At the end of the program, our address will be mentioned. You can also sign up to receive our email newsletter on our website, which is www.familyshieldministries.com. You can also give online. Now let's go back to our discussion with Dr. James Lamb, again, the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. All right. Well, as we talk about life, Dr. Lamb, there's so many issues to deal with. What are just some of your favorite topics to present as you travel around the country speaking to so many groups?
Well, my very favorite topic, and the one that I include in one way or another in almost every presentation I do, is called The Handiwork of God. And that's a presentation that talks about the value of human life based upon what God has done that gives it value. Because I just think that that's so foundational. No matter what life issue you're going to deal with, whether it's abortion or embryonic stem cell research or end-of-life issues, chronic illness, all of these things, the foundation for dealing with them is understanding that life has value, not because of what a particular life is able to do or not do, not mm-hmm. because of certain qualities we think a life should have to have value. It has value because of what God has done. And it's a threefold presentation. It's very, very simple. Life has value because, first of all, God has created life with his hand. We knit each one of us together in our mother's womb. I tell kids we could all have a little tag on the back of our neck like we see on fine clothing, and our tag would say, handmade by God.
Uh-huh.
And see, everyone has that tag. It doesn't matter if they're up and walking around or they're in a wheelchair or they're in a womb. They have that tag, and that's what gives them value. And every human life is also a life that's been bought with a price. God loved what he made with his hand so much that when we got lost in sin, he sent his son Jesus to pay the price to buy us back from that sin. And so the hands that knit us together in the womb are hands that stretched out on the cross and shed his blood for us. And again, that applies to every single human life because every life is someone for whom Jesus died. Now, of course, not every life knows that, and
yes.
that's our task mm-hmm. as the church is to share that. And the life issues provide great opportunities to do so. And then the third part of this is that every human life is a life God desires to call into an eternal relationship mm-hmm. with him. God has a plan for life, every life, and he wants to call that life. He came to seek and to save all that are lost. He wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. Mm-hmm. So those three things, that every life is created by God, every life is redeemed by him, and every life he desires to call into this eternal relationship, that gives every human life value. And that becomes the foundation upon which we as Christians stand when we now deal with these issues that are presented to us.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. And I know you speak a lot and you do all types of topics, but I want to just spend a minute on talking about your God's Word for Life. I mentioned it in my announcements.
Yes.
It's a Bible that mm-hmm. that Lutherans for Life created, and I don't remember, I don't know all the details about it, but it's not just a booklet, it's a Bible. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's in it, you know, in addition to God's Word.
Sure. We worked with God's Word to the Nations. That's a Bible translation, and they're noted for their specialty Bibles. So they have, you know, God's Word for teens or God's
oh.
Word for the military mm-hmm. people and so on. And they heard that we wanted to produce a specialty Bible that focused on life and the life issues, and so they offered us one of their editions simply to insert our commentaries into that, and so it saved a lot of money in the production. So what we did is we wrote or had others write for us various commentaries and articles on the life issues, and then we had them inserted in that Bible near the scriptures to which they speak.
Mm.
So, for example, I was just talking about, you know, God knit us together in our mother's womb. That's Psalm 139, verse 13. Well, you turn in the Bible to Psalm 139, and there's a blue page in the midst of all those white pages, and that blue page has about the God-given value of life that I just talked about. Mm-hmm. Or this morning, in our devotions here at the Life Center, we were looking at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, and believe it or not, we have a commentary next to that in that Bible because, you know, that was technology that was used that was used incorrectly.
Uh-huh.
And the technology was okay, being able to build things, but it was used to glorify man and not to glorify God. In contrast,
yeah.
Noah's Ark was technology, but that was used to glorify God. And so we can apply that to the technologies out there, like the biotechnologies, stem cell research, for example. That's a good technology. But when you get into embryonic stem cell research, then you are using human beings and destroying human beings, little tiny embryos, to get those stem cells. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a misuse of technology.
Yeah.
So there's 38 different little articles and commentaries inserted into the scriptures there. And that Bible is really a picture of what Lutherans for Life is about, because we desire to help people connect these issues to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this does that in a very visual, literal sense.
Yeah, that's great. How would some listener that wants to get that Bible get one? Would they call the www.cph.org, which is who facilitates the assembling and distribution of resources?
Yeah, all of our materials are now housed at Concordia Publishing House. So if you go to cph.org and then over in that left-hand menu there, there's a menu item called Sanctity of Life, and you can just click on that. Or you can just go to their search bar and just type in God's Word for Life, and it'll take you right to that Bible.
Okay, and I mentioned, too, in the announcements, Lutherans for Life has Bible studies that churches can use and other wonderful resources. And so many times people don't realize how many resources are available. Yep. But you mentioned Sanctity of Life when they go to the CPH website. Sometimes people don't really even know what that term means anymore. Can you tell our listeners what we mean when we say the sanctity of life?
Well, we're talking about, really, about what I was saying earlier. We're talking about the sacredness of life, if you would, or the holiness of life, the value of life in and of itself because of what God has done. So we're upholding this value that God has given to life. So, okay. You know, it's kind of like when David, the old David and Goliath story, mm-hmm. You know, we're told that the Goliath was in his challenge, you know, give me a man to fight, that he was defying the ranks of Israel. But when David comes along, he tells Goliath, you're defying the ranks of the living God. See, mm-hmm. So he saw Goliath defying God in this challenge of his. And so abortion and things like that, assisted suicide, things that devalue life, it's more than just defying life. It's defying the author and redeemer of life and that holiness and sacredness that he gives to it. So there's a lot behind that word sanctity, yeah, of human life. It's the value that God gives to life.
Awesome. And you mentioned several of the different aspects. Sometimes people think life ministries only deal with pregnant teenagers, but Lutherans for Life deals with life issues from the womb to the tomb and everything in between. Just a comment on that, please.
Oh, yes. You know, we're for life, and we're not just for the lives of unborn children. But we're also for the lives of born children, you know, the little ones. And we have materials to help teach them about the value of life from early on. We have materials to help our young people make good, God-pleasing decisions because they are valuable to God. They've been bought with a price, and they can glorify God with their bodies. And we have materials, as you said, for the pregnant teen. We have materials, in fact, a whole ministry called Word of Hope, which is an 800 hotline, for post-abortive women, women who've made the decision to have an abortion and then realize later on what that really meant, and they're just crushed with a tremendous amount of regret and guilt. And we have materials that connects this powerful message of forgiveness of Christ to the sin of abortion. And we have materials that deal with end-of-life issues, materials on advanced directives, you know, should I have a living will or durable power of attorney for what's the best to do, and what about this feeding tube? We have materials that deal with that, Christian decision-making at the end of life, and as you said, Bible studies that deal with these, yeah, all of these issues as well. So we don't only react to bad things happening, but we're proactive as well and produce a lot of positive kinds of materials to help people so that they don't even get into these difficult situations.
Right. You mentioned something, and our time is, I think we have maybe 3, maybe 4 minutes left, but you mentioned that that Lutherans for Life teaches children about life and youth about life. Mm-hmm. The new program, Generations for Life, I went to a sectional, 3 minutes left, Dr. Lamb. I went to a sectional that you had at your conference, and you had young adults there, and they asked them, why are you for life? And every one of them said, because my parents... Mm-hmm. taught me, and we need to pass on the faith. So just we have just maybe 3 minutes left, just a couple comments, and then we'll close the program.
Yes, we certainly know the scripture talks about God was so adamant about his people that would teach these things to their children, and so that generations yet to be born would know them. And so, you know, as families, we have a prime responsibility to teach our children about their Savior, Jesus Christ, and about the value that he gives to life, to help them early on begin respecting life, their own lives, certainly, to value themselves because they're valued by God, and then to apply that to other human beings and every human being as well. And I just love to, you know, my favorite audience are little kids to sit down with preschoolers and talk about life and to have the fetal models there and, you know, show them what they look like before they were born. And so, yeah, it's very, very important to engage our children and our young people. I'm just impressed with our young people as I talk to them. They really are more and more for life all the time, and they want to engage these issues, and so many of them want to make a difference. So we're there to help equip them to do that.
That's great. I was at a meeting last night, and Our Lady's Inn has a new young adult ministry, and several of them, young women, came in and said, what can we do to help with the meeting fundraising thing that we were having? And I'm like, oh, is that awesome or what? You know, they care about life. They care about, in that case, it's a maternity home that we're partnering with. But we have 1 minute left. So I think I'm going to just go ahead again, introduce my guest, Dr. James Lamb of Lutherans for Life. If you'd like to learn about some of their resources that he talked just a little bit about, go to www.cph.org, and CPH stands for Concordia Publishing House. It's a publishing house here in the St. Louis area, but they distribute all of the resources for Lutherans for Life. And I'm sure there's something there that you could use for your family or your congregation. Next week, we're having a Thanksgiving special. I'm going to have two grandchildren and their grandparents in the studio with me. We're going to ask them why they're thankful. And it's always fun to have children in the studio with us. Thanks for listening. We encourage you to attend church this weekend. Invite a friend. And join us next time for Family Shield. This is Kay Meyer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a radio production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people to know Christ, grow in His work, and strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to FamilyShieldMinistries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123, or call 1-877-317-4326. A CD of the program is available upon request. Tune in next week for more Family Shield.